ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool.
I guess consider this a bit of a refresher course. We're not going to talk about anything in this segment that you don't already know. But sometimes you need a refresher course.
It's a long weekend.
Oh, you mean from Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, football is back upon us. We had a glorious weekend of college football. The NFL is right in front of us. It's on the horizon. Big games this week. And Gabe and I were at the ballpark yesterday. We were at the Brewers game yesterday for a little Brewers-Phillies action. Now the Brewers did not get the win. Phillies got the best of them. Team is off today. They'll get back at it again tomorrow. But do people remember how you're supposed to behave during the game?
Nope.
Yeah, he just meant generally speaking, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to say nope to...
Yeah.
If the question is... Are people going to behave? The answer just generally is going to be no.
It's when I say I can't stand people, it's not really everyone. It's about 30%. I mean, I can't stand you. It's hard being on this earth. No, I'm saying when I say...
No, the proverbial you.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was talking about me specifically. I don't know what I did to upset him this morning.
Well, you didn't tell me what time your tea time is on Thursday, and you should know that, usually on top of things. And you choked. But Josh nailed it. Josh saved your hinder. Right, Josh?
Yeah, I know what's going on here, Chewy.
He's almost becoming a better translator than you. But back to people, there were a couple incidences, right? So what happened at the ballpark?
A couple incidents. So Gabe and I are watching the game. It was a great game. I really enjoyed it. Miz on the mound. Brewers get out to a decent lead. And then the Phillies, as a team as talented as they are, is wont to do, starts chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And oh, by the way, we find ourselves, I think, in the sixth inning, all knotted up at six. And I'm not exactly sure what the at-bat was. I'd have to go back and look. But it felt like a two-out, full-count, ducks-on-the-pond situation, right? Brewers trying to make hay. Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong. But we got these two ladies... who wander down the aisle. And if you're going to wander, at least wander with purpose, right? Know where you're going. Mm-hmm. This is in the middle of an at-bat. Full count. Two out. Ducks on the pond sort of situation here. And they are just standing in the aisle looking for their friends. I think they were over here. And they're doing the thing where they're turning around in circles and pointing and just completely oblivious that our entire section... might want to see what is happening at the plate. Gabe, help me out here. Am I describing this accurately?
The amount of time that they spent just standing there. Like, honestly, if they had any, like, self-awareness, would be embarrassing. Because, I mean, okay, you know,
How old?
Maybe my age. What do you think? Maybe 30s?
Yeah.
30s, well, that's not old. I thought you were talking 75.
Did I say
no,
old?
No.
Like ladies. Just okay. Yes.
Yeah. I would say maybe a little older than Jen. Late 40s, early 50s. You know, just kind of, but just literally standing there for over 2 minutes. Like, over 2 minutes.
And
just
were
like,
they over here? Were they over there? I thought they were over there. Weren't they by that guy with the hat? And we're just like going, we're doing the thing where we're going back and forth trying, should I look to the left of him? Should I look to the right of him? And they're moving, so we're moving. Like,
Now there are portions of the ballpark where they will stop you. Like, the ushers will stop you. I think this might only happen in the 100 section. We were up in the 200 section yesterday, where they will literally stop you. Now, some people will sneak by, but the usher will stop you and say, hey, you got to wait until this at-bat is over. Like, that's happened to me, and I love that. I'll stand here till the at-bat's over. That makes perfect sense. I will gladly do that, and then I try to get to my seat as quickly as possible. Obviously, this was not that situation yesterday, as there just no self-awareness. Like, looking into our section, looking into the section next to us, trying to figure out where exactly they are and where their friends are. So, obviously, this probably goes without saying, they had some drinks in there.
Sounds like a Southwest flight. Old people in the front, just, you know, the only ones on the plane, you know. Don't have any sense of urgency.
There was an obliviousness.
Yes.
It was actually startling. Mm-hmm. It was actually like, this is borderline impressive that you are completely unaware that there is an entire section of, and Gabe's group and our group were right along the aisle. If Daria wanted to, he could have given her a little move, you know, like reached out and touched someone type of thing.
No one was chirping?
It was starting to rise, right, Gabe? Like, you could feel like the tensions were starting to rise. We're doing the thing where we're leaning, and then we're leaning.
Yeah.
Like, hello? Bit of action happening right there behind you, you know, make a better door than a window type of thing. So that is on top of. So this is Gabe and I and a bunch of the Good Karma Brands folks were at the ball game yesterday, Brewers versus Phillies, on top of a video that has now gone viral on social media. And I saw it last night. I'm getting ready for bed, just sort of winding down, scrolling through, making sure we don't miss anything headed into the show. And sure enough, it is some football parents who are arguing in the stands. And Gabe and I had the same reaction was, when you take a closer look, Gabe, what did you quickly realize?
The game was the Badger game last Thursday. It happened at Camp Randall Stadium. You can see in the background, right? Like, you can kind of make out a little bit in the end zone of Wisconsin. But clear as day, you can see Barry Alvarez Field that goes along the sideline. And you can see the motion W and the scoreboard in the background. Like I had to rewatch the video because I was more investigating, like, wait. That looks a lot like Camp. Oh, it is Camp Randall Stadium, of two parents. I would assume. Like, I think they were both parents of players that were in the game. And Chu, one set of parents who was in front of the other was excited that their kid got into the game, so they stood up so they could see their kid, and the other set of parents right behind them started yelling at them.
Now, they were the opponent's kid, though.
Yeah, I think
right?
They're from Miami. The mom has a sweatshirt wrapped around her waist that says Miami, so that makes me believe that this is
which would make sense because that's like the corner of the stadium where like the visitor fans and friends and family section typically is.
Would they have yelled if they were parents of a Wisconsin kid?
They yelled either way, it would appear. Like, that was what was crazy is these were Miami parents yelling at other Miami parents.
I thought it was Badger fans.
Oh,
yelling.
Yeah.
No.
No. I've had experiences like that.
Okay. Parent on parent crime.
Lay it on me, sir.
Connor Cook. You know, I'm just going to say it the way it is because I never had to deal with the bigger jag than this in my life. You remember Connor Cook, quarterback of Michigan State, when they were good, making the run?
Yes.
No one really liked them. His dad, every time he completed a pass, would be at the front of the parents, the lower part of where all the parents sit. And every time he'd stand up and raise his arms and turn around back to the parents. And I'd be like, this guy is the world's biggest douchebag. Oh, my God. And it got to the point where my son was on Michigan State and I wanted to see him throw a pick because I was going to stand up and put my arms in the air.
So much sharp.
I mean, there is
here.
This happens.
So what is the question became, this started a conversation about what again is acceptable. I got to tell you, man, if my kid's playing a game and I want to stand up, I'm going to stand up. Like, I'm going to stand up. Now, I will probably sit back down. I won't stand up for the entirety of the game because I recognize that there is likely someone behind me. Now, I'm also a short human being.
I was just going to say, you're 5'2". Sorry.
He rounded down.
You can't skirt me inches, man.
Yeah, but there's a difference between you standing up and me standing up.
Sure, fair enough.
I'd never stand. I think standing up is so...
Okay.
You know, touchdown, whatever.
Yeah.
As long as everyone's standing up, that's fine. But that's not. I mean, you have people standing up the whole game, and I totally get
it. Well, Gabe, yesterday in the Brewers game, what was that moment where our entire section stood up? It was late in the game, and you're better at remembering these details than I am. What was that moment where we all were like, I mean, it must have been when they tied it up 8-8?
Yeah, in the eighth inning, yeah. I mean, because there are moments in a baseball game, you know, throughout where you're going to stand up. You know, you get the two strikes to close out an inning. You're close to it. Or, you know, like Jen said, a 3-2 count, got runners on base. Everybody's going to be standing up, getting into it, especially late in the game. But, yeah, it's not like you're standing for the entire game. Although, again, football's different. Like, when I was at the Packers game last year, and it was the first game I had attended as a fan in over a decade, we were in... I was fortunate enough, a buddy of mine, one of the guys from X-Golf, has seats right in the front row, 20-yard line on the visitor side. We stood for, I think, the entire game. Like, you're down there, like, at Lambeau, I feel like you're standing 75-80% of the time when you're at that game.
Why?
Because especially late in the season, when everybody's packed up and they have all those layers on to try to keep you warm, best of luck trying to sit everybody down on those bleachers.
Well, so how would you have handled this situation that seems to have happened at Camp Randall? If you are the family that is behind the family that is standing, do you politely say at some point, like, hey, so excited for you? Like, how would you address that, Gabe? How would you have that conversation?
I would have self-awareness in, like, if you're excited your kid's getting into a college football game. And again, some of the context is missing. I don't know if this was a freshman getting their first playing time, a walk-on senior who's finally getting some action. But either way, it seemed like, you know, they were excited that their kid got into the game. So I don't know if they were planning on him playing or not. Like, I think you should be able to read the context clues, read the room. Like, okay, just let him stand. It's a 17-0 game. Your team's getting whooped. Like, and maybe that's part of it. Like, your team just did not look very good, so now you're mad and you're going to yell at the parents in front of you. But hey, if they're excited their kid's in the game, understand that they're excited and standing because their kid's in the game.
Yeah, but how long can, like, you stand?
Let that go.
How long do you stand?
I don't know. If they're in for three plays, let them stand for three plays.
What if
it's a sporting event?
What if it's an entire series? I mean, cool. What is the etiquette? I mean, obviously, there's seats there for
football
a reason.
Stuff. Yeah, but it's called the stands, not the sits.
Fair.
How long you been holding on to that one? I just think, I got to be honest, guys, I just think in this situation in particular, the one that we are watching here, Josh is going to put it up on the YouTube stream if you haven't seen the video. I think that the situation here just requires a little conversation. Like, that mom could have leaned over to the other mom and said, oh, I'm sorry, we're just so excited.
Yeah, that's,
yes, first game,
yes.
He's getting some run. Mm-hmm. Like, we are just like, you know, and mom to mom or whatever it is. It didn't need to become this, like, and they're yelling at each other. And one of the dads is like, we can't see because you're standing up. And the other dad says, then stand up. Like, in his mind, it's pretty simple. Doesn't seem like it takes a rocket scientist to figure out that if you can't see, maybe change your spot a little bit. Are you going to play the video, Joshy? So we are playing it.
If it was just for a couple of plays and they want to see their kid, then I don't have a problem.
The parents in the front said that's his first time. So
yeah.
I think that's a warrant of a stand. And you just have to deal with it.
But I've also,
you have to be, especially if you're a fellow parent who has a kid on the team.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you understand the excitement of your kid getting in for the first time in a college football game?
But what about standing for a half? Then I would, yeah. That's why I'd leave, Gabe. I'd make sure my son saw me and pregame warm-up, three plays. See ya.
But you're such a special case.
I just don't want to deal with people.
Correct.
One. People are.
And then two, you're just a large human being.
Yeah.
So in these situations, you are always acutely self-aware of how you are being seen and viewed by the rest of the people around you. Like, that's just a thing.
Chewy sitting down is the same as Jen standing.
True.
So nice people. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. We find it interesting. Joshy did post the video on our YouTube stream. If you missed it, we will post it on our socials as well. But yeah, it's these two families at Miami. The family is standing because their kid is playing. They're excited about it. The family behind them is getting frustrated. And look, I don't know when it is in the game. I can't make it out that clearly on the scoreboard, but maybe the score played into some of the frustrations, right? Maybe they're a little more agitated because their team is getting worked.
I mean, they covered, I'm sure. You'd be happy with that. I don't like Belichick last night, which was nice to see.
So when you initially sent this, I expected it to be the classic debate that happens at Camp Randall or at the Kohl Center. And it's usually Wisconsin fans getting mad at Wisconsin fans because the old people don't want to stand and the young people want to stand. And that's a classic battle. So the fact that it was Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
In the hallowed grounds of the great stand or sit debate was honestly impressive.
Nick weighing in on the Carbless talking text line this morning, 800-990-3776. He says, I'm at one game. My wife was at two games. People getting up during the at-bats, now I assume he's talking of AmFam Field, is mindless. Grown adults, college kids, small kids, nobody has any sense. It's gotten so bad. I've seen some ballparks that have signs and ushers at the top of each section, making sure you wait until the at-bat is over to go to your seat. And I do think that there are certain sections where I have seen people encourage Brewers fans to wait. We were just unlucky that our section, gorgeous seats, had a great time at the ballpark. It was a perfect Labor Day to be at AmFam Field. Just wish the Brewers could have gotten the win, but they'll be back at it again tomorrow.
Quickly, I do want to give Jen and Dario a shout-out because their kids were locked in. Their kids were engaged in the game. Just great parenting, teaching the great game of baseball. I love to see it.
I got to tell you, Layla's so psyched. Layla is our 7-year-old. She starts baseball this week. She played summer baseball. And she has quite a little swing on her. She is into the game. And so she was enjoying watching. Meanwhile, Kira was like, can we go now? Can we go now? Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Officially game week for the Green Bay Packers. And of course, a lot of people still talking about Micah Parsons. Man, the conversation on GetUp on the televisions above us here in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios, still talking about Micah Parsons. How will he help the Packers? Let's ask Jason Wilde the latest on Micah Parsons. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're good. I assume Micah Parsons dominated a lot of the conversation over the weekend for you as well, especially with the news that he may have to get a shot in order to play on Sunday. Now, may is, I think, the important word here. I guess I was always under the impression there was a back injury. I know people have differed in the what they think the seriousness of it was, and or if some of it was just strategic with the standoff in Dallas. But I guess I always assume that the guy had something going on with his back. How concerned should Packers fans be?
That's a great question. And I don't know, because we haven't talked to Micah Parsons about this. He did say on Friday that he is going to play and that with how much they gave up for me, I'm not sitting on the sidelines. So I don't think he's going to miss the game or anything like that. But at the same time, like I was the opposite of you, Jen. I thought it was all a negotiating ploy, and back tightness is always an interesting concept, because that's not what does that mean exactly, right? The Packers had some issues with guys who slept on beds that were too soft in Indy when they were there for the joint practice and their backs were sore. I would also add this. This felt like to me, because if you notice again, all the insiders got it at the same time. This felt to me like David Mulugeta, his agent, wanted this out there. It feels a little bit like, yeah, he's going to play. It's not even... like, is this an injury you had heard of before?
I've had an epidural before.
I understand that. But, like, I've heard of discs and other issues that you can have with your back.
No,
like,
never heard of it. I've never heard of it.
By the way, facet? L4, Chewy. Yeah, L4, L5, facet joint sprain. That is a new one on me.
Yeah.
I'm sure what happens, and I've had it a million times, your back locks up to protect that joint. So what you have is each muscle on the side of your lower back is hard as a rock. And I don't know if an epidural will relieve that. Yeah. How did he pass a physical, know. Jason? Was this a Ron Wolf, Brett Favre, McKenzie saying, just pass him?
Is that what that was? First of all, I love Ron Wolf, especially the fact that at 86 years old, he is a, not only does he text, but he uses emojis. I was going to talk to him yesterday, and then this back thing came up. And so at one point, I told him this in our conversation. It was like I was transported back to like 1997 when I would call Jeannie Bruette, his administrative assistant, to get on the list of callbacks from him. And unlike today when we talked to Goody like four times a year, I talked to Ron almost every day. Like I always had some sort of question. And when I was young, I was so, because if your opening question was not good and you were counting on a specific answer to that question for your subsequent questions and you screwed it up, it was a train wreck. And so I told them, hey, I was supposed to call him yesterday. And I said, hey, can I call you? Do you have time tomorrow? This thing with Parsons' back is going on. I'm not sure how significant it is. And I'm not sure it's like you telling the medical staff to pass Brett on his physical, but it's required more work than I was anticipating. And this is, I absolutely love him. You don't have your facts correct. It's the first sentence of the text back. Brett passed his physical given by McKenzie at the combine in Indy. I had to go through a moment of sheer panic when a different doctor told me that he had failed. I then called Pat, and he set the record straight. The doctor from Milwaukee was terminated. Yes, I will be around tomorrow all day.
I wonder who the doctor from Milwaukee was.
Yeah, well, he was terminated.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. So anyway, long answer, even longer. I'm not going to believe that this is a major concern because he did have a physical. It was what delayed his press conference along with some travel challenges on Friday. But the bottom line is I expect him to play. I'm going to lean on the same word that Jen did. May, because this also paints a picture of him being a tough guy who's going to play through an inconvenient injury. So I will be surprised if number one is not on the field for game number one.
Jason, I can't get out of my head, though, that there's something more to this.
More to what?
Dallas giving him away. No one really else being a serious contender, were there?
I mean, yeah, that just... part. The second part of that, Chewy, I don't know. I don't know if there were other teams that called or not. I agree with you that it just feels like there's, you know, what everybody should be interested in this guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to your point about other teams, like if I'm Jerry, as much as I want to stop the run. And as much as I wanted Kenny Clark, there have to be other defensive tackles that could have been part of a trade. So, and I would want him like Ted with Brett Favre in 2008. I would want him as far away from me as possible, not only outside of my conference, but outside of my schedule. So yeah. I don't have to play him in week four. So yeah, I there's been this. And I hate being this guy, but I feel like I'm always this guy. So I'm glad you brought this up. Like, I don't want to be the party pooper.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the one that brings up, well, you know, I'm wondering about this and I'm wondering about that. So I've let the euphoria ride through the last several days. But I do think that that's a completely reasonable question for you to ask. And, you know, the fact that he's shot to the top of the odds for Defensive Player of the Year and the Packers Super Bowl odds have changed and everything else. Again, I'm not a bookmaker, but I do feel like those types of things, like they're great at lines, right? I mean, I don't know how they do it, but they always seem to nail the lines that make it very difficult for you to win your bet. But when it comes to those types of things, like, who the heck knows whether or not he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year in the Packers system? Mm-hmm. That's just to get people betting on it. So I don't know what to make of this. I'm very eager to see where this journey takes this team now, especially with him on the team. But I can tell you this. There was a palpable excitement and giddiness about him throughout that building. I mean, the players, the equipment staff, like, everybody's really excited to have him. But yeah, I think now that kind of the furor has gone down a little bit, I think that's a reasonable question. I mean, there are people that say he's not great in the locker room, right?
Yeah,
he's
that's
a
me
guy and all this stuff. So, I don't know if that's how he's going to be in this locker room, but I don't think you're out of line to wonder that aloud.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Away from the Micah Parsons and all that excitement, we got an announcement, Jason. It didn't come from Goody. It didn't come from Matt LaFleur. No, Rashid Walker told us he is starting at left tackle week one. Does that mean he won that job? Does that mean that the back of Aaron Banks isn't good enough and they need Jordan Morgan to start at left guard? Do we know what it means for Jordan Morgan if Walker's starting at left tackle?
Yeah, I think it means he's the sixth man. I talked to Aaron Banks yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I'm losing track of the days at the breakneck pace that we're going.
We haven't even gotten to week one, right, Jason. Come on, man.
I know, exactly. Well, you know, with the holiday and then LaFleur not talking and then a nighttime, like Friday news dumps, we all know what those are. It's amazing to me that they ended up having to have a Friday evening press conference for the biggest news they've had in terms of an acquisition since in the last 30 years. But he said his back, he practiced yesterday. He's practiced three straight days now in terms of their practices. So I don't think this is Jordan Morgan didn't get the left tackle job because he's got to start at left guard. I think he's the sixth man. Now, I will say that either LaFleur didn't tell Shido that he didn't want this out there and he wanted to keep the Lions guessing, or Shido was just so excited that he's keeping his starting job that he couldn't keep it inside. But yeah, somebody asked him yesterday. We were talking a lot about Parsons with him because they were college teammates, obviously. And we got to the end of the conversation and somebody said, you know, are you starting at left tackle? And he said, yes. And then there was just kind of this palpable surprise. Oh, okay, I guess you're just going to tell us. And then how do you feel about that? And he said, I feel like it's my job. And you know, in fairness to him, I don't have a problem with him putting that out there, and I don't have a problem saying that. Like, you know, he was having a really good camp. He had the groin injury. We got to see some of Jordan Morgan, which is a good thing. But this always, in my opinion, was what made more sense. Nothing against Jordan Morgan. I know he wants to be the left tackle. He'll be the left tackle next year when, Lord knows, they don't have that much money anymore to be signing everybody. So I assume that, you know, the Parsons deal is one of the casualties of that, was any hope at all of them keeping his college teammate on the roster. So he'll be the guy next year. And for now, Jordan Morgan's going to be the sixth man, and if anybody goes down, he's going to be the first one off the bench.
Jason, before we let you go, there are a lot of concerns. That might be too strong. There are a lot of questions about replacing Kenny Clark, whether that is, you know, what he does on the field, his production, but also his leadership in the locker room. And I don't know how much that has been talked about, but you're in that locker room pretty regularly. Kenny Clark was a pretty significant leader for that team, right? How do you see it being replaced?
Yeah, I actually was working on that story for today, for tomorrow, because I went and talked to Colby Wooden. I talked to Carl Brooks. I talked to Nazir Stackhouse, because that's the flip side of this story, right? With all the euphoria about getting Micah Parsons, there's a bunch of defensive tackles that are really bummed. I thought Colby Wooden was going to cry. when I was talking to him. And at one point, like, I asked him, well, who's going to host your get-togethers? Because Kenny, all off season, if you guys remember this story, was having guys over to his house, like, every couple of days to go over film and hang out and watch, you know, the NBA finals and everything else. And Colby was like, yeah, we haven't figured that out yet. So the fact that he was the deal breaker in this deal, I found fascinating for the Cowboys. And more importantly, I just think that that's probably an under-discussed aspect to this story. So I talked to all those guys, you know, and I joked with Carl Brooks. I said, is Kenny going to have extra jerseys printed up for the Week 4 game? Because I know that there's about four or five guys that are going to want to do the jersey swap with him. They're going to want his Cowboys jersey. And Carl Brooks said, well, we'll see who he likes best, but I'm getting that jersey. So he is an incredible – he is incredibly beloved with those guys. From a purely football perspective, they do have a lot of guys. Like, they love Stackhouse. They think Brinson is going to be a good player for them. You know, Wooden and Carl Brooks are going to get more opportunities. And then, by the way, they do have a first-round pick in Devontae Wyatt, who it's time for him to play at a higher level. So I think from just the football perspective, they feel like they've got the guys. But to your point, Jen, from the leadership and just, I mean, you know, the guys, this is his 10th season. Still hasn't celebrated his 30th birthday yet. But I don't know if there was anyone in there, and he didn't do it vocally. It was total, he is the definition of lead by example. But he was the guy when it came to that kind of stuff in the locker room, and that is not easily replaced.
Well, and then I just think about Jordan Love and the way he presents himself, and I know that LaFleur has asked him to step into that leadership role and maybe be more vocal, but I think we know that that will be challenging for Jordan, and he will work on it, I'm sure, and he will get better at it, but obviously different sides of the ball as well. But I'm just curious to see who will step up as a leader for this Packers team this year in the absence of Kenny Clark. Jason, good stuff. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we got to take a break. Still a lot of stuff to get to. We want to talk about that Micah Parsons back situation. Are you concerned when you heard about the... Wait, I had it in front of me and now it's gone. Gabe, do you remember
facet
what it's called?
Facet joint sprain.
Facet joint sprain.
It's you guys coming through. Facet joint sprain. What was your concern level for Micah Parsons playing in the season opener against the Detroit Lions this weekend? If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. My family and I have been looking for a lake house. We've talked about this. And Great Midwest Bank is going to take care of giving us the best options for our mortgage. So when you're ready to buy your next big life decision, you can get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and most importantly, local loan officers. From start to finish, you can bank with confidence at Great Midwest Bank because they are your simply local equal housing lender, and you can see all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
gotten?
A little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be. That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Still plenty of time to get some great golf in this year. And why not take advantage? Join at the Wisconsin Country Club just like I did. If you're looking for a great, challenging golf course, I also love our practice facility. Range is great when I want to work on my game. A couple different short game areas. But maybe you're also looking for more. I love it for the golf, but I've got friends out there, like Stephen Watson, that take advantage of everything else, like the pool, tennis, pickleball, plus no assessments, no food and beverage minimums. Why don't you check it out? Get started today. WisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
Well, you know, obviously Dallas got to do what they got to do to get to week four. We got to do what we got to do. I see no easy games. I see the Lions first on Sunday, what I got to try to get ready for. And then I see the Commanders on Thursday night. So I see two games that got some of the most, you know, elite offenses in the NFL before we get to Dallas, which I know is another elite offense after seeing them all in camp with CeeDee and Pickens. So, you know, I got to focus on that one first, but when it comes to week four, we'll be ready
And, you know, we weren't prepared the same way we had the previous weeks.
That's Micah Parsons talking about that big week one matchup, Packers versus Lions. He's excited. Everybody's excited. And yet, there was some news over the weekend that may be contributing to, I don't know, a little anxiety for Packers fans. If you've been following the Micah Parsons saga, and let's be honest, everyone has, there has been talk about a back injury. They have talked about how he's been dealing with this. In fact, a lot of people thought that maybe it would sort of clear up mysteriously once the contract negotiations got cleared up. But he's laying on the training table during that game. He's going to get second opinion. So I was always under the impression that there was something. I don't know if it was being exaggerated for effect, but I knew that there was some sort of injury that Micah Parsons was dealing with. And now we're hearing that he may have to get a back injection to play this weekend. Chewy, what is your level of concern as Micah Parsons deals with, gosh, I can't find the name of it again. Joshy, what's the name again?
Facet joint sprain.
And it's just not going to stick. I mean, we could say it over and over. Facet joint sprain. Facet joint sprain. It's just not sticking. I don't know. So
is it going to stick now?
No.
Or are we going to have to quiz you at the end of the segment?
No, it should have a name, though. Like Liz Frank, great name. Jones is kind of lame.
We should just name it after you.
Yeah.
That I'd remember, if we're being honest. Facet joint sprain. Your level of concern for the facet joint sprain and his ability to be productive this weekend against the Lions.
Concern. I mean, I didn't think he was going to play all the snaps because he didn't go through any training camp. But I anticipated that he would play 70. That number, I mean, if you're getting the epidural... Yeah, I mean, it's playing time will go down. Backs suck. No one knows what a back is like until you have one. They're just debilitating. And there's nothing worse than spasms in the lower back because it limits your movement and things like that. So there is concern. I mean, hopefully it doesn't eventually require surgery. But I would be concerned. He's definitely going to play. It's just a matter of how much.
I have minimal concern.
That's because you never had a back. It's because you've never had a back.
Well, no, because Chewy, like, this is the most you said hopefully it doesn't require surgery. If the Packers doctors thought that it might require surgery down the line, don't you think they would go, I don't know, guys. I don't know if this is a back that you want to trade for. Like, this is the most conservative medical staff in the NFL. And, yeah, he's dealing with something, but also, Chew, have somebody show you the video that Matt Schneidman tweeted out yesterday. He hits the sled, the blocking sled, and just lifts it to the air, torquing his lower back in order to do so. That doesn't look like somebody to me that's going to be limited with his back injury. Do I think this is something? Sure, but I don't think it's anything I'm concerned about long-term.
No, otherwise, not long-term.
I'm not concerned about the Detroit game.
Yes, there is
concern. I'm not even concerned about the Detroit game because, again, he was out there practicing and... Yeah, was he dealing with a back injury? Sure. But I also think he would have been practicing in Dallas had he gotten the contract. He got the contract. He was on the practice field yesterday for the Packers. He's going to be on the practice field for the rest of the week. I think that he's going to be limited because they want to ease him in, just like we talked about last week. I don't know. It just doesn't seem all that alarming to me based on
the fact that he's getting an epidural. The week of a game doesn't concern
you. We don't know if he is. We don't know if he is. He may.
Well, I'm just saying if they throw it out there.
So to me, there's a strategic part of this as well. I think there were a lot of conversations about the back and whether or not it was a legitimate injury or whether or not they were just using that for the hold in, the sit in that Micah Parsons was, you know, was trying to do with the Cowboys. There's a part of me that wonders if the agent isn't like, no, it's a legit back injury. Here's what it is. It's not going to keep him off the field. We're going to do everything we can to have him on the field. But this is what the injury is that Micah Parsons has been dealing with. Let's hear from Micah Parsons talking about his perceived availability.
Well, I think physically, you know, I'm great. You know, I think I can contribute a lot. I'm going to team up with the doctors and creating a plan. We already talked about how we can ramp things up and get me into a flow where they feel comfortable and I feel comfortable. But, you know, my plan is to be here. You know, they didn't give up what they gave up for me to sit on the sidelines and make this big of a, you know, risk and change. for me to do that, so I'm finna give my all.
So let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. I think he's going to be okay. And there's a part of me that, yes, Chew, I agree with you that, like, yeah, let's keep our eye on it. But I also feel like 80% of Micah Parsons is still better than 100% of a lot of guys out there on the field. I mean, when you're a generational talent like we believe Micah Parsons is, I'm going to take him at any percentage I can get him against the Lions in week one. I think he at 80% is still an upgrade for what they had out there from a pass rush standpoint.
But you just don't want it to get out of control week one where this is like a lingering thing. I mean, long term, no. Worst case scenario is you have surgery to fix it. It's just, and you guys hear me talk about it every year, day one of training camp, you're at 100%. And then it chips away and it chips away and it chips away, and you might finish the season, you know, at 92% or 88%. You just don't want
this
to be a lingering
thing. It's like every video
game
I've ever played, right, guys? You got that health bar down there in the corner, right? It's just, you know, Mortal Kombat.
You just got to find the heart. You just got to find the heart somewhere so you can just get that back up to 100%. How many times did you take an injections, Chewy, before you had to, in order to play in a game? How many times did you do that?
Not in my back, just overall.
No, just overall. Just overall. Just injections.
In my career?
Yeah.
50?
He's like, the limit does not exist.
40?
Half 40? The time you played?
40 to 50. Which is great. Tortle, wonderful day one. Great on a Sunday, and then you got hit by 9 trucks when it wears off and Wednesday comes around. But you don't want to be taking Tortle week one, you know?
So there is a man claiming to be a doctor. He does have sports.
Oh, there's another one out there?
I want to be clear.
You weren't talking about me, were you?
I'm not a doctor, but he does have sports medicine doctor, and it seems like some of the information he's giving seems to be something we should pay attention to. An epidural is done for disc spinal canal issues or nerve impingements. Facet joint injections are different, and the facet joint sprain is probably just an attempt at describing degenerative changes in those joints, not uncommon in athletes. This is all very common and likely done in multiple players every week without us hearing boo about it.
Okay, play the weed whacker sound effect, because I was like, my eyes were glazing over when he went into all that medical talk. If it's the same guy that you were talking about, he also says you don't just casually take an epidural injection before a game. You have it done multiple days prior under x-ray guidance by a specialist.
And it hurts.
And it takes multiple days to take effect. How is that different from the epidural that moms are getting before they have labor? And I'm sure there are differences, right? You're attacking, you know, different nerves, different areas on the body. I get it, right?
We're not numb from the stomach down. Yeah.
Must be different because...
My point is that stuff kicks in right away.
Yes. That's what I don't really understand, and I think it is above us. I think you're right on, Jen. I think the agent, now that I think about it, the agent getting it out there, because also you're covering your butt. And not saying he was doing all this as a contract negotiation. You're saying this is a real thing. It's not going to preclude him from participating, but it's a real thing. And as Gabe said, if you watch him hit that blocking sled, that's not a guy who looks like he's less than ready to
Well,
go.
I'll go back even further, guys.
I better be careful with my back
but
here.
Right, because this is hold on. The fear is not the pain. Because guys can play with pain. That's not the fear. The fear is it locks up because there's something wrong. And I've had that before where both, and I'm sure you guys have had spasms in your back. Get that in your lower back where it just like locks up and you can't move. That's the concern. It's not the pain. I mean, you can play through pain.
You can find that sled video all over social media as well. I think Schneidman is one of the people that has put it out there. People have certainly retweeted it. But I'll even go back even further, guys. When Micah Parsons found out that he was about to be a member of the Green Bay Packers, there's a video of him popping around his living room, hopping around his living room like a kid on their birthday. And it doesn't look like the back is bothering him at all. It doesn't look like somebody who's dealing with a significant back injury. It doesn't look like somebody who is like hindered by an L4, L5 facet joint. Oh, crap. What's
sprain?
Is it sprain?
We got it?
Is it a sprain?
She was so close. So close.
But there's another thing that...
She got. I thought that would be the easiest one to remember. The sprain part.
Oh, it is sprain. God bless America.
There's another thing you have to go through, though, at the start of the season, and that's ramping yourself up from contact, which he hasn't gone through yet.
Which is why I think that's what's going to limit him, Chewy, right? Like, I think the lack of contact, like we talked about last week, and you've talked about a lot, if we're being honest, about, you know, how there was the one season you went in, you didn't do good much training camp, you felt about 85%, but you weren't ready for the contact. To me, that's what's going to limit him week one against Detroit more than anything, is the lack of training camp. And again, I'm sure he's been keeping himself in shape, but it's not like he's been off to the side doing tackling drills to try to keep himself ready as he's been going through whatever he went through in Dallas.
It's totally
going
to depend on how the game plays out. I mean, if this thing is a 3-point game for most of the game, he's probably going to play more. If they're up by 10, you know, and comfortable where it's not panicky, probably won't play as much. So that'll determine how much he's going to play as well.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let us know your concern level for the Micah Parsons back, the facet joint sprain.
Nailed it!
Well, they just told me it was a sprain. I can hardly take credit. It's going to be if I remember it in the second hour of the show. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. Stick around.
Football and pizza, they go together hand in hand, and Palermo's has done it again. Another great pizza you should be trying this football weekend. Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Each crust, giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker. It's square-shaped, of course. That's what Cheez-Its are. It's the perfect amount of that Cheez-It flavor. Ultra-thin, super crispy. Each of the crust flavors that are perfectly complemented by the Cheez-It taste, including 4 Italian cheese, cheddar, Jack Supreme, and pepperoni. And it has one of the most shortest bake times. So you're going to go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months?
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Pull up to Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee and shoot your shot at big wins for Sweet Ticket September. Play with your rewards card for entries. Score triple on drawings on Thursdays. Win slam dunk prizes like cash, reward play, and tickets to see the Milwaukee Bucks in action. Sweet Ticket September. Are you ready for this? Only at Potawatomi. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play. I'm not sure if you guys got to see any of the Coach Corso celebration on ESPN. A lot of people obviously did. I believe the numbers were like 5.1 million people tuning in for the final 15 minutes of College Game Day on Saturday morning, live from the Shoe. It was absolutely wild, guys. They wheeled the set out to the middle of the field. The middle of the field.
Really?
And that's where Coach Corso made his final headgear pick of Brutus, of course, the first headgear he ever picked, you know, all those years ago. Gabe, it was so cool to be there. I know you were watching on Saturday morning. What did you think watching Coach Corso walk off into the sunset?
I thought it was really cool, and I thought there was a chance that he was going to pick Texas, because one of, I feel, Corso's favorite things to do was play that heel of, you know, like, he never minded getting booed by the fans behind you guys at College Game Day whenever he picked the opponent. But once I saw him get rolled, again, I had no idea that they were rolling your set out into the middle of the field, and they were going to do the pick over the PA. Once that happened, it was very obvious he was going to close the loop, first pick being Brutus and wearing that head, and his final pick being Brutus. And also, he nailed the Florida State upset. He was the only one to nail that.
He went 6 of 6, Gabe.
Did he really?
He went 6 of 6 on Saturday over the weekend.
Wow.
He picked Tennessee. He picked Florida State. He picked South Carolina. He picked the U. He picked LSU. And then he picked Ohio State. I did see somebody give him a tough time because he was the only one on set to pick Florida State this weekend over Alabama. And somebody tweeted as soon as it happened, wow, you know, all-time worst pick. And then, of course, he was right. And so in the comments, you know how you can do reader comments? Someone wrote, not so fast, my friend. which was just the perfect response to Coach Corso actually nailing it. Had a lot of questions over the last few weeks about what it was like working with Coach Corso, and I've said, just a gem of a human being. You know, the kind of person that you walk into the room and he's genuinely interested in what happened in your life since the last time he saw you. So congratulations on an incredible career, Coach. It will be very, very unusual not having him there with us in Norman, Oklahoma this Saturday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. Stick around.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.